Very good to have your attention, especially the Mayor's Youth Committee kids back there. It's nice to have a little activity in the audience, and I welcome you. We are going to start the evening with an invocation led by Pastor John Debim from the Crosswalk Christian Church. That will be followed by a Pledge of Allegiance led by Sheila Hidalgo from the Skyline High School and a member of the Mayor's Youth Committee. So would you please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the pledge. We have a minister present this evening. Okay. I have one that I have done in the past. Let me go ahead and do that. It goes, Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom that enables this council to meet in self-government, to provide the leadership and guidance necessary for the stability and continued proper growth of the city of Mesa. We now ask for four things: patience, objectivity, wisdom, and courage. We ask for patience to enable this council to collect all the information necessary to make proper decisions. We ask for objectivity to enable this council to properly evaluate that information. We ask for wisdom to ensure that proper decisions are made. And finally, we ask for moral and physical courage to enable this council to implement those decisions with justice and fairness for all concerned. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to go ahead and welcome Councilmember Wayland. Are you hooked up on the phone, Mike?
I'm here, Mayor.
Okay. We'll be asking for you after the council has voted to indicate your vote before we have the full tabulation done. So I appreciate you joining us. I know you're in Yuma doing a line siting committee, and appreciate your work for the state of Arizona in that capacity. The next item on our agenda is a presentation by the Mesa Arts Alliance.
Johan? Mayor Hocker, members of the council, my name is Johan Zietzeman. I'm the Director of Arts and Culture for the City of Mesa and also the Executive Director of the Mesa Arts Center. Good evening. Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to present to you tonight. By way of background, I'm here to introduce two members of the Mesa Arts Alliance to you. The Chair, Mr. Bob Neal, and the Treasurer, Teresa Carmichael, will be here to hand over a check tonight to the council. The background of this very briefly is the quality of life sales taxes raised in 1998 was enough to pay for the new Mesa Arts Center that was going to be built at the time, except for two smaller theaters and some work in the Shadow Walk, estimated at a shortfall of about $2.7 million. In 2001, the Mesa Arts Alliance, which is a non-for-profit support organization, formed to support the building of a performing and visual arts campus in the center of Mesa. They committed to raising this necessary shortfall from private dollars to complete the venue. The Alliance pledged initially to raise this 2.7, but as you will hear from the chair tonight, they have exceeded their pledge by far, which I think is a great example of private-public partnership to do wonderful things in the city of Mesa. I won't go into detail. I will allow the chair to do that, but what I'd like you to take note of, and just to, for the record, would like to say that the campaign was led by former Mayor Wayne and Kathy Brown, who agreed to co-chair the campaign cabinet. Their campaign cabinet included Joni Flatt, Mike Elliott, Ken and Teresa Bryce Heems, Bill Eaton, and honorary chairs were Ross and Anita Farnsworth, the Honorable John and Betty Rhodes, and Tom and Ruth Nesbitt. Today, the Mesa Arts Alliance will deliver the final check that will complete the original pledge and what they've raised in addition to that. And I'm going to ask the chair, Mr. Bob Neal, to come up and hand over the check. Mr. Neal, please.
Thank you, Joanne.
Johann is correct. We did pledge $2.7 million. We also had decided that we would raise $1 million for an endowment. But realizing that there was more capital needs, we changed our commitment to the city to $3.7 million. We did away with our endowment, which we have not started yet. We may not. But anyway, at this point, we have not done that. And then there were some additional capital needs, and we raised our commitment to the city to $4.3 million. We have outstanding pledges in excess of $5 million, which is a tremendous effort on the part of the citizens of Mesa that we were able to raise that amount of money. I have here a check, which, although it should be the final check, probably will not be the final check because we will have other funds coming in, but we don't know what those are going to be, so we're a little afraid to make a commitment until we know exactly what the shortfall is going to be. But at the present time, we have a check here for $572,111, which brings us up to $4.7 million money that we have presented to the city. We believe there's going to be some more, but at least we have this. Well, this has been a very unique thing. I don't know that's ever happened in the city before, where a private organization has raised funds to support the
community. Well, thank you very much.
Mayor, while you're walking back, perhaps I could just take a moment to thank everyone involved. I know that this was a monumental amount of work that took place, and Teresa, thank you for overseeing the funds there, and Bob, for you and your group and all the work that were done, for Wayne and Kathy Brown and Ross and Anita, who led the charge on that, and everyone else on the committee, thank you so very much. And you know that, because the mic, you weren't on the mic, so I'm going to repeat that, or unless you'd like to come up and say it yourself. You mentioned the Ikeda family that contributed so much in order to help fund the Art Center. Thank you.
Okay. I appreciate the work. Also, I know there's been always a effort to try to get as much private money as we can, and I certainly support that effort, and it's a to fulfill that obligation is a great statement for the people that tried to support the arts, or are supporting the Arts Center, did originally and continue to do so. So thank you very much. The next item I'd like to do is recognize, if I could, the Mayor's Youth Committee that's in the audience here this evening. We have about 36 students that are juniors and seniors that go through a year-long program focusing on city, county, and state government. And I've also have the ability to kind of give them a topic for discussion and insight into some of the issues that we face as council members, and I appreciate their looking at some of those. I've gleaned some great ideas from prior Mayor's Youth Committees, and I hope I'll do the same. Would you mind standing so everybody can see who you are this evening? Good. Thank you. Thank you for being here. The next item will be the consent agenda, and I think we'll read that into the record.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 5A, act on new beer and wine store license for Fresh and Easy Neighborhood Market, 1045 South Gilbert Road. Item 5C, act on new beer and wine store license for Walmart, number 5904, 7561 East Baseline Road. Item 5D, act on new restaurant license for Atomic 29, 1910 South Gilbert Road. Item 5E, act on new restaurant license for Grill El Quazal, 1933 West Main Street, Suite 1H. Item 5F, act on new restaurant license for Monte Casello's Italian Restaurant and Pizza, 2015 North Power Road, number 106. Item 5G, act on new restaurant license for Peppers, 6209 East Main Street, Suites 1 and 2. Item 5H, act on new restaurant license for Tacos y Marisco Playa Bonita, 816 South Stapley Drive. Item 6A, act on contract for three light-duty replacement vehicles, $114,095.41. Item 6B, act on contract for one light-duty vehicle, $30,818.40. Item 6C, act on contract for five replacement vehicles, $90,090.55. Item 6D, act on two-year renewal of supply contract, $26,100 annually. Item 6E, act on contract for replacement server hardware, $71,970.62. Item 6F, act on three-year supply contract for steel refuse containers, $139,481.43. Item 6G, act on contract for redrill city well number 12, $933,982.50. Item 6I, act on contract for one-year stopless reinsurance policy, $1,344,457 annually. Item 7A, introduce ordinance for December 3rd, annexation case A07-28, annex half of existing and future Germain Road right-of-way. Item 7B, introduce ordinance for December 3rd, zoning case Z07-98, 4200 South Power Road for flexibility and future development requests. Item 7C, introduce ordinance for December 3rd, amend Mesa City Code relating to Mesa Fire Code. Item 7D, introduce ordinance for December 3rd, amend Mesa City Code relating to Mesa Building Codes. Item 8A, act on resolution to amend existing IGA between Maricopa County, Town of Gilbert, and City of Mesa. Item 8B, act on resolution to extinguish portion of easement at 1800 North Hobson Street. Item 8C, act on resolution to dedicate two easements at 1804 West Main Street. Item 8D, act on resolution for reimbursement of $36,183.94 for regional street lighting improvements. Item 8E, act on resolution for IGA for Mesa's portion of Ride Choice Program fiscal year 2007-2008. Item 8F, act on resolution to secure $498,634 for six school resource officers in Mesa High Schools. Item 8G, act on resolution to accept $13,140 in grants from Arizona Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. Item 8H, act on resolution to secure $86,000 for installation of two motorized canopies. Item 8I, act on resolution to secure $77,000 for a tactical shooting facility. Item 8J, act on resolution to secure $10,000 to expand current defensive tactics training house. Item 8K, act on resolution to execute gas supply agreements. Item 8L, act on resolution to adopt results of special election held on November 6, 2007. Item 9A, act on ordinance to amend Mesa City Code regarding to deferral of off-site improvements. Item 9B, act on ordinance, zoning case Z07-103, 10309 East Hampton Avenue for two hotels. Item 9C, act on ordinance, zoning case Z07-104, 922 South Country Club Drive to expand a motorcycle dealership. Item 9D, act on ordinance, zoning case Z07-105, 7551 East Pecos Road for three shell industrial buildings. Item 9E, act on ordinance, zoning case Z07-107, 8230 East Broadway Road for a rezone. Item 9F, act on ordinance, zoning case Z07-108, 9621 East McKellops Road for a rezone. Item 10A, act on subdivision plat, Superstition Springs Collision Center, 7500 East Hampton Avenue. Mayor and Council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Are there any requests to remove any items from the consent as read?
No requests, Mayor.
Can I entertain a motion? I have a motion by Vice Mayor Walters, seconded by Councilmember Jones for approval of the consent agenda as read. Any council discussion? Would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
Aye.
Okay, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. The first item then would be on page 2. This is going to be a public hearing for a minor general plan amendment, and that is general plan amendment 07-13. And it is the 9565 East Southern Avenue is the location, located west of Crisman Road and on the south side of Southern Avenue. It's 16.617 plus or minus acres. And this is a change from a R3 PAD to an R3 PAD and C1 in site plan review. Basically, it's from high density residential to of 10 to 15 to high density residential of 15 plus. And this would request allows the development of apartments at this site. Are there any requests to speak for the public hearing portion of this?
No, Mayor, not unless requested.
Is there anyone that came this evening to address the council on this during the public comment portion?
I'm representing the applicant.
I have your card here. It says, if necessary. You feel it's necessary? Okay. Looks like it's going, it comes with a recommendation of 5-0 for concurrence by the respective boards, too. Okay, let me go ahead and then declare the public hearing portion closed, and we will take action on resolution for general minor plan amendment 07-13. Again, same address, and it's for the development of apartments. I have a motion by Councilmember Rawls for approval, seconded by Vice Mayor Walters. Any discussion? Would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote on the resolution?
Vote aye, Mayor.
All right. Okay, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. Next action is on the ordinance. Again, same location, same case. And this is a rezoning from an R3 PAD to R3 PAD and C1 in site plan review. 5-1 is a recommendation from P&Z. Are there any requests on this?
No requests, Mayor.
All right. Entertain a motion. I have a motion by Councilmember Jones and a second by Councilmember Summers for approval. Vice Mayor.
Just a note, unless I'm looking at the wrong thing, I think it came with unanimous recommendation from Planning and Zoning. Am I looking at the wrong?
It did, 5-0.
Okay.
Did I say something different?
Yeah, you said 5-1.
Snuck in that one opposition. Apologize, it is 5-0.
Okay.
All right. Okay, motion second. No further discussion. Please vote. Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
All right. Vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. If you didn't need to speak, you can. Congratulations. Yeah, I hope we saved your clients some money here tonight. Okay, let's go on to page 3. And this is another minor general plan amendment and zoning case. This one is numbered 07-14, and it's located at 1137 East Broadway Road, which is located west of Stapley Drive on the south side of Broadway Road, 1.9 plus or minus acres. This is a general plan minor amendment to change the general plan land use map from medium density residential, which is 4 to 6 dwelling units an acre, to high density, which is 15 plus dwelling units an acre, to medium density residential 6 to 10. So you've got a mixed medium and high, and it's going to go to a medium density, and this request will allow the development of a supportive housing project at this site. Also has companion case, which we'll get to in a second, zoning Z07-106. It also comes forward with a recommendation of 5-0 with approval. So this is the portion for the public comment, not public comment, but the public hearing on the minor general plan amendment. Are there any requests to speak on that item?
No requests, Mayor.
Did anyone come to address the council on the public hearing portion of this?
I represented the applicant.
All right. Good. Uh-oh. You're trying to bill, huh? All right, go ahead.
My name is Michael Nisley. I'm architect with Dye Style Design, representing the applicants for this. And I came all the way here from Minneapolis, so I figured I'd better get up here and say something.
Okay,
so
welcome.
I just want to thank the staff for the multitude of phone calls that we made on this project, and also the great turnout that we had with the citizens. I think they're going to continue to meet actually in our facility if it's if you guys approve it. Right. I'm here to answer any questions if you have any.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Are there any other comments under the public hearing portion? Yeah, let me go ahead and then and close the public hearing on this item, and we will take up item 4B, which is the resolution. I have a motion by Councilmember Rawls for approval, seconded by Councilmember Summers. Any other discussion on the resolution before us? Please vote. Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
Vote aye, Mayor.
Right. The vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. Next item is the ordinance, same site, same location. This is zoning case Z07-106. I have a motion by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Summers for approval. Any discussion? Please vote. Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
Vote aye.
All right. The vote is unanimous, so it does pass. Congratulations. Enjoy our weather before you return home. All right. Yeah. All right. The next item then would be on page 4, and that is 5B. This is a new beer and wine store license for Ranch Market Number 7. Address is 1138 East Southern Avenue. And we had some discussion about this one downstairs. Please.
Yes, sir. My name is Randy Nations. I'm at 1811 South Alma School Road, Suite 268 in Mesa, and I am the applicant. Had an opportunity to talk to not one but two attorneys during our intermission between here, which is scary, but I can answer some of Councilman Summers' questions in reference to what happens if you go ahead and grant our liquor license and we don't get the C of O. I was told that in most cities, all cities that they've been exposed to, that is a criminal offense. Not only can the police come in and shut you down, but you also have the right to file an injunction against them opening. Ranch Market is wanting to go into that location. They're going to put in a $46 million facility. And, of course, a liquor license is a very important commodity for them. They wanted to make sure that they were able to get a liquor license before they started to build out and started spending this money. The facility itself is going to be about 214,000 square feet with approximately 660 parking spaces. It's going to be quite extravagant. I don't know if you folks have visited any of their other facilities, but they are very nicely done. The Ranch Market people have a very solid background in the grocery store business, have been operating for generations, and for that reason, we would like to request that you grant us permission for the liquor license so we can get started on the permitting process and the build-out. And I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Councilmember Summers.
Make sure I hit the right button. Mr. Nations, thank you for getting that for me. I guess the question I would have of your attorneys is, are they talking about Arizona law specifically, or are they, we just saw a gentleman come in from Minnesota, so are we talking Arizona cases where opening up and operating under a liquor license without a certificate of occupancy, or are we talking about other states where this was done?
Mr.
Your attorney's coming up to bill you, so.
This is Mr. Nicholas Gatilla. He was instrumental in getting the form that you see for the city of Phoenix, and he can probably be better to answer that question.
Nicholas Gatilla, 4150 West Northern Phoenix. I'm an attorney for Fresh and Easy, and I'm also an attorney for this current applicant. To answer your question, I can't tell you what Mesa's city code says, but I can tell you the experience we've had with other cities. And I was downstairs and I was listening, and we were mixing apples and oranges. The liquor department has procedures and has a rule that has 13 elements that they consider when they decide whether they're going to recommend approval of a liquor license. And one of those procedures or one of those elements is, has the applicant acquired all of the licenses and permits required? We view that as required at the time you file your liquor application. The city of Phoenix, probably 2 years ago, came up with a affidavit or a supplement to the application where an applicant would sign it saying, we agree that we will not open without a certificate of occupancy. In exchange for that agreement, the city then makes a recommendation of approval, and then the liquor department has that, and there's no need for a hearing before the liquor board. I personally have appeared before the liquor board on behalf of a client that did not have a certificate of occupancy. We argued before the liquor board. The board issued the license with the understanding that if the store, and it was a grocery store, no grocery store is going to open without a license. I mean, that's just a fact of life. The liquor board understood that if the store tried to open in the city of Phoenix without a certificate of occupancy, it would be a violation of the city code, and I leave that to the city attorney to make those decisions, but it would be a violation of the city code, and at least in Phoenix, it's a crime, and they would be cited for every day they operated without a certificate of occupancy, and the city attorney could go to court and get an injunction to keep the store from opening. Same as if you opened up a store without a liquor license and didn't have a certificate of occupancy. The city has the absolute right to stop you. So mixing the liquor license with it didn't make a lot of sense. We met with Councilman Claude Maddox. He had his entire staff and city clerk meet with us, Randy, myself, and the clients, and they came up with the form. I understand that Randy gave you. I would hope that the city attorney, and I'm volunteering my time and Randy's time, if you have a meeting where you're going to consider that, I will come from Phoenix and participate in that meeting like we did with the city of Phoenix, because in my experience, I've been doing liquor license work for over 30 years, large corporate clients don't want to commit to opening and spending a lot of money if they can't be assured that they're going to have a liquor license. And that's the issue. It's the cart, it's the egg and the chicken issue. But to answer your question, it's a city code issue. It's not a state issue. And I heard some discussion downstairs about posting. That's a state issue. The liquor board has requirements.
With the change in the policy in Phoenix, was that done on behalf of a client? Was there a process done beforehand? Was a client given an exception and then that process was done? We don't have a policy right now for recommending a liquor license until you have your permits out. And you don't have
We had a hearing before the liquor board. The liquor board granted the license to the client. Mm-hmm. That client didn't want it. That client's opening 30, 40 stores. I'm not going to tell you who it is, unless you ask me. we were successful at the liquor board. We then didn't want to be in the same position we were in before, having the city recommend denial and then have to go to a hearing and try to convince the liquor board, look, common business sense says you don't spend millions of dollars opening a grocery store if you can't be assured you're going to have a license.
That part makes sense, I understand. Let me ask the city attorney if I may. He's talking about Phoenix City codes. I'm going to assume Mesa City codes are the same. Well, I'm not going to assume they're the same. I'm going to ask you, what is the recourse of the city of Mesa if this business were to open and operate without a certificate of occupancy?
Councilmember Summers, like Phoenix, we have a penalty provision, and it could be up to a civil fine or a misdemeanor charges filed against them.
Okay, so it would be similar to what he was describing.
Yes,
in
that's correct.
Mr. Brady, if I may, is this an exception for this affidavit? Is this an exception for this user, or is this going to be city policy and procedure from this day forward that any liquor license requested by a user who has not built their structure yet, is that going to be policy to go ahead and have them sign an affidavit, or is this going to be an exception and then we're going to come back and look at this as a possible procedure for the future?
Mayor, Councilman Summers, as you just acknowledged, that this is new for the city of Mesa to proceed in this particular case this way. However, I think the staff's looked at it, and talking with the applicant, we see that there's some merit to that. I wouldn't want to suggest that this one case sets a policy. I think that's the council has to make that decision. I think we had that discussion downstairs that, depending on what the council wants to do today, if you want to look at this as a opportunity to make a change in the policies in the future, we can certainly bring that back in a future study session and have that discussion. But you have an applicant for you who came to us with some circumstances and some reasoning and logic that we were willing to consider. I think they had met with some other council members, and we otherwise, you know, this is an exception to the way we would normally do this, but we felt like the idea of being able to require the certificate of occupancy was in question, that certainly made it a different application than we've seen in the past.
I unfortunately, the first I've heard of this was downstairs 20 minutes ago. So I'm being asked to vote on approving a liquor license when in the past I have argued, and fairly successfully to this council, that anyone who does not have the or is not up to fire code, is not up to building code, these are public safety issues that we should all be very concerned about, that we should use liquor license in a way as another tool to ensure that whoever that occupant's going to be, doesn't matter who they are, but whoever that occupant is going to be, that they meet the basic minimum codes for public safety. Because the number one thing we do as a council is ensure public safety. And your clients want to ensure the public is safe as well. Given your concern with the new building, I certainly understand why you would want the liquor license, and I think this affidavit could be a very good idea as an economic development tool, particularly if we're restricting it to buildings that are not yet built yet, if we have other avenues as well that are open to us, for example, not giving you the certificate of occupancy, but having been handed this 20 minutes ago, the affidavit, I mean, I have a nice thick council packet. I have no copy of that affidavit. I have no copy of an opinion by our attorney of whether that affidavit looks good. The affidavit was written for Phoenix. It's not even a Mesa code. These are just some concerns I have. I'm also concerned, another concern I have, this is a good user. And also you, sir, I've seen you here a number of times, and every time you represent good clients. But I can't, as government, we can't make an exception for a good user. Well, this is a good guy, and we won't make an exception for this other one. So that's why I asked the question about, is this an exception today, or is this going to be policy? If this were policy from this point forward, I'd be a little bit more comfortable as well. As an exception, I start to worry about fairness in government and everybody being on the same field. The issue you bring forward today is that it's getting longer and harder to get approvals for liquor licenses because of negative input for certain special interests, shall we say, but others as well as the neighborhoods. I think the neighborhood should have an input. What I'm concerned about is approving something without considering what the negative consequences of that might be. I don't want to see less public input. I want to make sure that the public does have their input, and particularly when you're talking about a flat piece of ground and a stake and a small sign, I'm a little concerned about that. I want to make sure that the city attorney is comfortable with that. I want to be comfortable with that before I make it policy. That said, I think I would like to make this policy. Given what I've said thus far, before I decide whether to push the green button or the red button, I'm interested to hear if you have anything that would settle my concerns, or if council maybe has something that might settle my concerns before I decide which way to go. And hands are raising, so this could be good for you.
I think everybody would like to weigh in on this. Tom, you up first?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm not particularly concerned about the form of the affidavit at this point. If we decide to pursue this as a policy, I think we probably need to, you know, massage the language and everything. But basically what the affidavit says is that we're going to comply with the law of the state of Arizona and the city of Mesa. I don't think that's not rocket scientist stuff, basically, because you have to have a certificate of occupancy to open your doors. If you don't, we can pursue you criminally, we can pursue you civilly, we can get an injunction, we can bar your doors, and there's probably not much worse for a business that gets open for 20 minutes and then have the police come and shut it down with chains and stuff. So I don't have the same degree of heartburn. I'd actually like to kind of reverse you, Scott. I'd rather grant the exception tonight because of the unique circumstances, because we haven't had a chance to study it, but then bring it back as a policy decision as to whether or not this is a way we want to do business in the future. I think we will, because I think it makes sense under these kinds of circumstances. So motion maybe apparently has already been made and seconded, but I support the motion. I support granting the application today, and I don't think we need to get involved in the minutia right now, because you don't get your certificate of occupancy, which, by the way, requires both compliance with the fire code and compliance with all the building safety codes. You're not in compliance, you don't open, the liquor license isn't going to do you a bit of good. And I don't know of any business person that sets out to do business that way. So I feel comfortable myself.
Okay, Vice Mayor.
Well, Tom, prepare yourself for the shock. I agree with you. I look at this and I say, what if there were no liquor license? Well, if there were no liquor license, you'd have to build the standards, you'd have to get a C of O, and we wouldn't let you have a C of O if you didn't build the health and safety standards. The liquor license is a side issue. If this were an existing building with change of ownership, I'd have a different issue, but I have no problem with this. I could go along with what you said, Tom, and I'm not going to say anything more.
Okay. Councilmember Jones.
Well, I made the motion. It's in my district, and I have seen the affidavit before, and we've gone through the iteration of getting to this point, and I fully support moving forward like this and having the discussion of changing policy, because it is a tremendous investment when there's uncertainty there, and we're fully protected, and I think that we need to move forward with it.
Okay. I was the motion seconder in this case. I agree. I think that having seen what Phoenix is doing makes so much sense. So we ought to duplicate their process and encourage some business locations, especially of that type of magnitude. And the only thing we'll have to do is change our map to show some type of pending circles on it in case it takes a while for them to get it built and up to speed. So when we do look at the maps, we know what's already been approved in that location, because sometimes you can have an overabundance in one location that does trigger some concerns of the neighbors. So I would, I'm going to be supporting moving this one forward this evening. I would call on your expertise if you could work on the affidavit that corresponds to the proper city codes here in Mesa and bring that forward. And my consideration, as Scott was discussing it, is that a policy is being set from this point forward. We're not making an exception for you. We're going to make an exception for everyone that comes forward by creating a new policy. All right. Councilmember Summers.
That last one was good. All right. I am completely in favor of bringing this forward. I think it very well could be a good policy. I'm a little concerned about the minutia. Sometimes the devil's in the details. Having success with this in Phoenix, my cautious side says to vote no, but I'm going to have a leap of faith here and support this, because I think it's a good idea, and I know that staff has looked at it. It is a leap of faith, because I hate getting things 20 minutes in advance, and that's by no means your fault. And then asking to vote on it, and I'm also comfortable with what the mayor said, as it's an exception for you and everybody in your situation who comes forward until we get that policy finalized. So I'll go with it with a little bit of trepidation, but I'll move forward with the approval. Thank you, Mayor.
Yes, you good. All right, we have a motion and second. The motion is by Councilmember Jones.
Mayor?
Yes.
Can we just ask for clarification? Is the intent of the council that we will enter into an affidavit with this applicant as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Mayor?
Councilmember Whalen.
Could I make a comment?
Certainly.
The is Gary Gittin there this evening with Mr. Nations?
Yes.
I met with Gary along with Councilmember Jones, and this is a 140,000 square foot facility, I believe, 60,000 in the market at our old Kmart site. that has been vacant for a long time. I think the neighbors will like it. They're a wonderful market. I talked to our economic development folks, and they're just tickled to have them here. So, Ranch Market folks, it'll be easier as you go along. So, obviously, my support's there, Mayor.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Any other comments? All right. We have a motion and second for approval, and that is with the work on an affidavit that is similar to what the Phoenix model is, which would be incorporated in that motion. Is that correct? All right. Would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
Vote aye.
All right. Okay, it passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Next item is on page 7. That is item 6H, and I've been informed by staff that I have a potential conflict of interest because of an ownership interest I have in an asphalt construction company.
Can I just add my standard conflict of interest to your standard conflict?
You can right after I turn it over to the Vice Mayor. Vice Mayor.
Councilmember Truitt.
Well, I think the same thing. There's a remote possibility we could do construction staking on these types of projects, so I'll start chiming in with my conflict of interest.
Welcome to the club.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any? Let me read this into the record. This is miscellaneous drainage improvements. This project will install minor storm drain system improvements in three areas of the city to minimize street drainage and impacts on the surrounding properties. I don't think that makes sense. To minimize street drainage and impacts on the surrounding properties. The project includes the installation of a drainage inlet, et cetera, et cetera. It's recommended that the award go to Standard Construction Company for a total award of $41,338, and this project is funded with existing storm sewer bond proceeds. Were there any requests to speak on this item?
There were none, Vice Mayor.
Thank you. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Summers. Any council discussion? Okay, would you vote, please? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
Vote aye.
Thank you. The motion carries with 5 ayes and 2 abstentions because of potential conflicts of interest. Thank you, Mayor.
The next item is on page 12, and that is items from citizens present. Do we have any requests to speak this evening?
No requests, Mayor.
All right. I'd like to again thank the Mayor's Youth Committee for attending, and also we have quite a few Boy Scouts there in the back of the audience. Maybe we can go do a little camera span so that your parents can see that you did, in fact, attend the meeting this evening. Thank you very much for joining us. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? We are adjourned.